This morning, I want to talk about another, you know, we're going to advance in our verses in Philippians. And the title is this, Living a Virtuous Life in the Church. And we're going to talk about a part of Philippians where two sisters in the church were arguing. And that was the wrong time to argue, because the Apostle Paul mentioned their arguing. And so now their arguing is a part of the eternal word of God. That was the wrong time to argue. But it happened, and it's good for us to learn. And we're also going to talk about how they resolve that in the church life. And, you know, it's important for Christians to have a church life. If you think you can live your Christian life on your own, you might run into situations where you realize, I don't have enough strength, even if you're very strong. And, I have some gray hairs now. I've seen some people, and I felt like, wow, what a strong brother or what a strong sister. And then they just lose the fellowship in their life. And when they lose that fellowship, it becomes very hard for them to follow the Lord. And I would just say, where can you live the most virtuous life? It is in the context of a church life. And you just think about, like, we were just together. Nothing special was happening. Jasmine just told me, like, I'm trying to follow the Lord. It's really hard. And have you ever said that, Jasmine?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Jasmine's testimony. Yeah, I'm trying to follow the Lord. It's really hard. But somehow I get encouraged. Somehow I just get encouraged. And that is called, that's what I like to call the church life.
Right.
And the more, hey, Benty, are you encouraged by other brothers who are following the Lord?
Yes.
Do you think you could be where you are if it weren't for other brothers who are following the Lord? He's honest. But you're strong. You could stand up and show how strong you are. Look at how strong this person is. But even this strong person still needs some other brothers to help them, help follow the Lord. So, this is kind of like the base. This is the church. Let me tell you, a good definition of the church is this. This is Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
Definition of church.
Yep.
Right there. It's a group of people whose citizenship is citizens. Right. Yeah. Citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
Thomas. When I call you Tom, it just seems funny. Thomas, you're an art student. I'm a physics major, but we're together because our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
And that is a Christian, and it's a deep thing. When you believe in Jesus, this is what happened. When you believe in Jesus, you have faith, and that faith will cause Jesus Christ to live in your heart. And when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, what happens is this. He who has the Son, that's Jesus, has the life, and you get eternal life within you. And that life identifies you with heaven. The life identifies you with heaven. And that's why a Christian who is really a Christian, who has been, born again by faith, when you see things on this earth, you just feel like, I just don't fit here. You see somebody so happy that they just came into a lot of money, and you just feel like, that's not the meaning of my life. You see somebody so happy that they got so many likes and so many followers, and you're just kind of like, hollow. And then you see something on, you know, and then you see like, oh, I fulfilled the American dream. I have 2.2 kids, a white picket fence, and whatever. And then you're just like, there's something more. Why? Because your citizenship is in heaven. And that is what the church is. A church is full of people whose citizenship is in heaven, and you just live a different kind of life. I was in Taiwan one time for 1 month. I like Chinese food. Yeah. Well, 1 month is a long time. Yeah. It was a long time. And I just realized, I'm not Taiwanese. No. I just wanted a hamburger. I wanted to go to Taco Bell and just... And fulfill my American. And I just remember I went to Domino's Pizza in Taiwan, and I was like, oh, this is it. And when I ate that pizza, I had a lot of expectations. And then that pizza tastes like fish. And then I was like, I want to go home. I want to go to... I'm American. Well, I just realized it. And then I ate hot dogs. And then, you know, hot dogs in Taiwan are different from hot dogs in America. They're mushy. Like, hot dogs in Taiwan are, they're much mushier. They're more like a Vienna sausage. Anyway, I won't go into many details. But anyway, I ate those things, and I just realized it's not. Okay, this is a Christian experience. Just realized, like, We don't belong here.
Amen.
We just don't belong here.
Amen.
Jasmine, do you feel like you belong here?
Sometimes.
Oh, then your citizenship needs to be. You know, there's something more. It's your life. My life is for Christ. And that's why a Christian does things sometimes that are just different than a non-believer. It's like, well, I'll give my money away and I'm happy about it. And then people would say, like, why'd you do that? Like, I just did it because I don't live for that. I use my time to study the Bible and follow the Lord and meet with Christians. And then people would say, like, what is the good of that? How is that advancing? But you're like, no, I am living in a different place. And you just realize the whole church is characterized by that way. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. I will not unpack this. But this is part of the promise of the Christian life, that your body will be transformed and to be conformed to the body of his glory.
Amen.
Sometimes people say, I just became a Christian so I feel better. And then the Lord might say, yeah, you do feel better, but your body will also be transformed to the body of his glory.
Amen.
Betty, have you ever had problems with your body?
Amen.
Have you ever had a pain that came from your body?
Yes.
There's a promise. There's a promise.
Amen.
It'll be conformed. And then the glory that we have in our spirit will spread to our soul.
Amen.
And that glory that is in our soul will spread one day to our body.
Amen.
And right now, we're all waiting for that.
Yes.
And we're all growing in that time, and you can say, that is the church life.
Amen.
So Paul says this, then we're going to go on and get to this. Therefore, my brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord.
Amen.
You know what way? The way of this. Thinking that our citizenship is in heaven. And then you just think, like, this is our whole life. This is where I would say, like, there's a church life. Look at this. My brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown. How many people came in to this room this morning and said, "You're my joy. You're my crown." Well, that's how Paul would look at the church. So, Tom Becker. Oh, let's get all the Tom. Tom and Tom. Three Toms. Isn't he more like a Tom?
Yeah.
He's a Thomas.
Yeah.
And he's a Benty. No, Thomas or Tom?
Tom.
Tom. Thomas, Tom, Tom. Just look at them. And then, wouldn't you say, like, my joy?
Yeah.
Are you guys kind of happy that he is following the Lord?
Amen.
Amen.
When did you get baptized?
Last.
Okay. Aren't you joyful?
Yes.
You just see him, my joy. And then you feel like we're part of this group.
That's right.
You're part of his group. Why? We're all citizens. This is how we stand firm. And then, aren't you just happy Thomas is following the Lord?
Amen.
And Thomas, didn't you give the invitation to Freddie? Did he give you the, was he the first Christian you met?
In David and Thomas.
David and Thomas.
Yeah.
David. Okay, this will be fast, sorry. Don't. Aren't you just proud of these brothers?
Yes, amen.
Dan says, my joy.
Amen.
Just like the verse, whom I long to see. Brothers, my joy.
Amen.
And my crown. Somehow you put all of these on a crown.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Tom,
Amen.
David, all on the crown. And then that's a church life.
Amen.
Why? Because it's a heavenly citizenship life.
Amen.
And it's not because we're greater than other people, not because we're more righteous. It's because when we receive Jesus, we receive the eternal life. And that eternal life links us to something in the heavens.
Amen.
And we have a heavenly life, a heavenly existence. So you just look at these brothers. Aren't you kind of just like, do you just smile when you see them? Everyone smile.
Yes. Amen.
See? You just smile. Okay, thank you, brothers.
Amen.
Okay, here comes the conflict.
Praise the Lord.
Here it is. This is what happened. I urge Yodia and I urge Syntyche. And then he says this, to live in harmony in the Lord. In Greek, it is literally, instead of harmony, it is literally like have the same thinking, have the same mindset. That's a more accurate Greek than harmony. And then he gives a little bit of a story about these two people. And he says, indeed, true companion, I asked you to help these women. So like, he's like, okay, Yodia and Syntyche, they're like not in harmony. And then he's asking his true companion. We don't quite know who that is, but somebody in the church there who is like responding to the Apostle Paul would help them to come in harmony in the Lord. And that's a hard job. You have two people who are fighting. And then if somebody says like, hey, can you help them? You're like, that's hard. But he gives kind of a history of what these women were in the church. Okay, like these women, and then look at this, they shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel.
Amen.
Together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. And so I'll just kind of make this a story. Once upon a time, there were these two really good sisters named Yodia and Syntyche. And they shared Paul's struggle in the cause of the gospel. In other words, like, they were not just churchgoers. They were struggling. They were struggling in the cause of the gospel. And then you just touch that kind of life. You know what the struggle in the cause of the gospel is? Is this. I am putting forth my efforts. I am putting forth my struggle, my fight, either my sweat, my prayers, so that unbelievers would become believers in Christ and become sons and daughters of God. And so that means, you know, at that time, there's idol worship, there were just a lot of different people were a lot of different places. And you could think about Yodias and Syntyche as this was their kind of life. They would maybe walk down their neighborhood, their neighborhood, street in Philippi, and they would just pray for people. And then maybe all the people that they knew from their work or whatever, they would just like have a desire to invite them, to teach them about Jesus, to say something about Jesus. There was a real struggle, and it was not easy. It was not easy. And so, but you could see that they had they tasted the struggle. They tasted that struggle. And that's good for all of us to taste the struggle. You know, yeah, when you touch it, you realize how dark the heart, how dark the world is with people who do not have any hope. They don't have Jesus. You taste it. And then you realize, like, oh, my life is to struggle for them. That's what Yodias and Syntyche were. And then also, together with Clement, again, we don't quite know who Clement is. Maybe we might know from church history that he, you know, wrote a letter, early letter. Maybe it's the same person. We don't know. But you can see that these two sisters were also not Lone Ranger. You know, you have some Lone Ranger Christian. I met a Lone Ranger Christian one time. This is what he said. Rex, I'm just waiting for the day. I'm just going to go into the hospital, start healing. I was kind of like, well, just go ahead. I don't know what he went. He was a Lone Ranger Christian. But it's much more kind of like, I would say, powerful, sustainable. If you become a Christian who is together with Clement, they're just together with Clement. And so then, you know, their struggle in the gospel of Christ, and then the whole, like, a lot of people in the church in Philippi had also this kind of burning in them, and there was Clement. So if you hang out, like, if you hang out with Brendan, you're probably going to, like, preach the gospel. What's that, Brendan?
Sure.
Yeah. If you hang out with Brendan, you're probably going to preach the gospel. So just pretend Brendan was Clement. So it's like, you share my struggle in the gospel together with Brendan. And then you're like, hey, Brendan, what are you doing? You want to play basketball? And he's like, well, actually, I'm going to go preach the gospel. And then you're like, okay, I'll go along. And then you just have a life together. And let me tell you, when you're all together preaching the gospel and in that struggle, it is one of the best things ever. It's just one of the best things ever. You know, and I could tell you a lot of stories where I was with brothers and we were struggling together and praying together and trying to present the gospel to people together. You know, and it was a great life. It was a really great life. And the rest of my fellow workers. So in addition to being with Clement, they were fellow workers with Paul. And if the Apostle Paul says you are a fellow worker, that is something.
That's right.
That's really something. If the Apostle Paul were here and he would say, Rex, you're my fellow worker, I'd be like, whoa. Thomas, you're my fellow worker, wow. In other words, these people just had a similar view as Paul. What is he here for? He's here for the good of, to advance the gospel, for the good of the churches, for all of these, you know, for the gospel to be preached to every single person. And then Paul would say, that's my fellow workers. And then their names were in the book of life. Okay, I'll talk a little bit more about that after I portray the scenario. Okay, so who thinks if you fulfill all of these things, you're doing pretty well? You're struggling in the cause of the gospel. You're with Clement and the rest of Paul's fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Do you think that's a great Christian life?
Yeah.
And then it comes. There was like this. There was this meeting. And Yodia was there. And Syntyche. And they were just like, we're living our lives. We're living the meaning of our life. And Yodia had such a scratchy voice. And then Yodia told Syntyche, I would have listened to you, but your shoes were so bothersome that I was distracted the whole time. Why would you wear shoes like that? And then Syntyche thought, how dare she? She doesn't know what I gave for this church. She doesn't appreciate my heart. In fact, I think she's trying to destroy me. I can't believe she said that. And then Syntyche tells another person. And then Yodia found out. Syntyche told the other person. And then Yodia just feels like, now she's gossiping. And how dare she? You know what I've given up for this? I was a fellow struggler, and Paul called me a fellow worker, and then that Syntyche will disrespect. Just disrespect. I'm not going to struggle in the gospel anymore. How could I do that with her? I'm not going to be a fellow worker of Paul because just so mad. Welcome to verse 2. So you see, like, well, wouldn't that be great if Christians were just this way, where they were just struggling in the gospel, because the Lord Jesus, the message of the Lord Jesus is actually absolutely the best. It's absolutely the best, and it's the most worthwhile life. If you preach the gospel to someone and they get saved, they will be eternally grateful to you. Oh yeah. Fairy boys, are you eternally grateful to David and Thomas?
Yeah, man.
Okay, David and Thomas. Let's recreate that. So just what'd you do to Fred that day?
Oh, walked up the business building, the case.
Yeah, and what'd you do?
We started talking about God, and he just out of nowhere asked us, how do I find out about Jesus?
Okay. Well, pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you like each other when you were doing that?
that wasn't like a core piece of it.
So that's pretty simple. It's actually very simple. And then Mary became a believer.
Amen.
What if he would be like, Thomas, insulted my pants. And then he would be like, how can't he take it? I mean, it's just a little comment. And then, by the way, he doesn't know what I've given up for this. I hate him. And then it is like, oh, wait. And, and sometimes, it's funny, sometimes I visit a lot of churches and sometimes it's funny. There's like two leading brothers in the church. And then one is sitting there and the other one is sitting way over there. Mm-hmm. Like, hello. And then you just realize like, the church might have some problems. Mm-hmm. And Peter and I, we have like two seats between us. But I wouldn't mind sitting. I don't mind sitting next to you, Peter. But you just think, oh yeah, there's got to be a way. And then it's not just to get together so that we can be a big happy family, sing kumbaya around the campfire. But it's so that this can be restored.
Yes.
That can be restored. Thank you, brothers. And so it's like, and then what I said is, it's kind of silly, but actually when this happens in life, it sometimes you look back at like, what just happened? It's like, oh, yeah. Was that really that, something? It's kind of a family, happened in the church life. And then I just like to talk about the solution that Paul gives. What is the solution? And I would say this solution is a way to resolve differences among people, both people who have the Lord. And if somebody does not have the Lord, then this solution is much harder. It's much harder. And if both people do not have the Lord, this solution is impossible. So this is not a solution for world peace. This is a solution for the peace that is between you and another person who knows the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And it's this. I want you to live with the same mindset in the Lord. It's the same mindset in the Lord. And a New American Standard says, live in harmony in the Lord. What does this look like? Well, okay. You have two people that are in conflict. And then because they're in conflict, they're just not preaching the gospel. They're not struggling. They're not fellow workers. They're not. But then how do you get together? Number one, it is about the mindset of each of those people. And then Paul does not say, Syntyche was just right, Yodia, just conform. He doesn't say, oh, Yodia was right, Syntyche, what's a corporate term? Align. You need to align with her. He doesn't say that. Basically, what he does is, this is the spiritual part of it. You have two believers, and they may have two very like reasonable objections to the other person. And then what does Paul ask them? Can you drop what you have and take up the mindset that is in the Lord? You drop what you have, and you take up the mindset that is in the Lord. And so this command is for Yodia, drop what you have. Take up the mindset that's in the Lord. And then Syntyche, drop what you have. Take up the mindset that is in the Lord. If this was just like, I hope they all agree, and he didn't add this in the Lord, then we're talking about maybe like conflict resolution. But if we're talking about this, what it means is this. There is a real experience in a person where you can sense a mindset that the Lord has at that time for that situation. And it's an experience, and I would say it's a growth experience. Where you just realize, like, you know what? In this situation with Yodia, I am just wrong. When I say that, I'm wrong. I open myself with a little question. Lord, where do you want me to be? That is a crucial step. This mindset, the word mindset, it's phroneo. And it's a very common word in the book of Philippians. And it's kind of like this. It's kind of like the mindset that results from a person's consideration and experience. In other words, sometimes you just know. You know, if I stand on the Lord's side in a situation like this, it'll be bad. It'll be good. If I stay with my even rightness or position, I might be right, but I am spiritually dead. And I just learned that in my mindset. I just learned that. There's a certain kind of experience that results from this, and then experience that results from like knowing the Lord in your life. Then you have this person. I just can't stand that. I can't stand that. And then both of them, David, Thomas. Over here. Yeah. Yodias and Tiki. So right. She trying to destroy me. I'm so right. He doesn't know what I did. Thomas would find the grace to say, Lord, just let it go. Lord, what is your way? Amen. He would have the grace. I just let it go. Just let it go. And then something would work in him. Lord, what is your way? It's not like, okay, now he just does, he agrees with him. Or it's not like he just agrees with him. They both find the mindset that is in the Lord.
Amen.
That is harmony. And I've tried this, like conflict resolution sometimes, like brothers just like, ah! Can you believe sometimes brothers fight in the church? Can you believe that, Dan? Can you believe sometimes brothers fight in the church? They actually do, yeah? And then one time this brother says, okay, I'll just do anything he says. No, that's not conflict resolution. It's this. Live in harmony in the Lord.
Right.
It's like, where's the Lord in this? Even like husband and wife, you know, sometimes there's arguments with husbands and wives. Dad, can you believe sometimes there's arguments with husbands and wives? The wife would say, I may not be right on this one. Lord, where are you?
Amen.
The husband would say, like, I may have to say I'm sorry. Lord, where are you?
Amen.
You have two believers come together to take the mindset in the Lord. And then, in that way, It's the Christian way, the heavenly citizen way of resolving something. And so thank you, brother, can you sit down? When I asked you to help these women, true companion, I asked, help these women, help them, how? I really want you to be able to know Christ. I really want you to be able to know Christ. How can you resolve those things? And I've been in those situations where it's just complicated. Human heart is complicated. It's deceitful above all things. It's just so deceitful. Sometimes, you know, somebody asks, like, what do I want? It's like, I think I want this, but I'm not exactly sure what my heart is actually saying. That's biblical. It's deceitful. And you have all of those things. And then in the midst of that whole thing, where there's a lot of motivations, a lot of offenses, a lot of hurts, how wonderful when there's a little bit of grace to say this, I drop what I am, I drop what I have, Lord, where are you?
Amen.
And then the true companion, then Euodia and Syntyche, could live in harmony.
Amen.
In the Lord. And I've seen this, even in church situations, like, oh, church is just, it's hard. There's underlying tensions. Why? Because the leaders are fighting. And then there is grace. And I've seen victories in this, where leaders stop fighting. And they actually can stay together in the Lord.
Amen.
And then the whole situation just feels different because there's like a harmony, but it's not a harmony produced by one was more powerful than the other.
Yeah.
One agreed, I'll just do whatever you say. It wasn't a harmony like that. It was a realization. This is where the Lord is. And somehow, in the Lord's work, in that person's heart, it was just marvelously harmonized. And then they could say, like, you know, Euodias and Syntyche after this, and we don't know what the result is. We don't know if they ever resolve this conflict. That's the terrible thing about being around the Apostle Paul when he's writing the Bible. We have no idea. All we know is they were not in harmony. And so their conflict got into the Word. And we don't know what the resolution is, but we can see, like, well, if they could just drop what they were.
Amen.
And find, I would say, the third way. The third way is not Euodias' way. That's Syntyche's way. It's the way of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. That's it.
Amen.
And then you know what? There's just some headship in the whole thing, the headship of Christ. And then there is a harmony, and then there's a renewal of the struggle, of the cause of the gospel, and the fellow workers, and they're just rejoicing because their names are in the book of life. So I hope we can have this in our life. And I know a lot of times in our hearts, there's just a bother because of some other existence of another individual on the earth. I know. And what a mercy when we can handle that as citizens of heaven. Not in a fleshly way, not in a natural way, not in an earthly way, but as citizens of heaven. And then when you see the church preaching the gospel, you might just say, like, oh, that's fine. The church preached the gospel. You don't know all of the things that went on in people's hearts so that Euodia and Syntyche could live in harmony. And just realize, like, that is the support behind the work of the church. It's lived out in the hearts of the saints, in the tough relationships that are built through this, and it is something of God's work in humanity, in the church. And you just realize, this is the Lord's work.